This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to Goodfellas Minute 79.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care.
Hello, welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese picture of Goodfellas one lion-throwing minute at a time. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. With me are Ron Richards.
Hello.
And Josh Flanagan.
I want my money.
This minute kicks off with two punches and two head slams, and it ends with Henry and Jimmy getting arrested in glorious black and white.
Yep.
And so now we've gone down to Tampa with the guys on their little errand for Polly, and it turns out their errand is to collect money from a bookie who does not want to pay until he's threatened with being thrown in a lion pit, which then he decides to pay. My favorite bit, I'm just going to jump the line bit, we can go back to
that,
is the way his no, the pitch in his no changes once they say we're going to throw him to the lions. You know, like he's holding out when they're beating the crap out of him in the back of the car. But when they say,
which is laudable.
Let's throw him in the lion pit, his no becomes a real genuine no. I'm going to die now and the lion's going to eat me.
What I like about the throwing to the lions bit is that, I was trying to look elsewhere in the movie where this happens, but this might be one of the few direct interactions between Henry's narration and the events of the film as they're occurring, because Jimmy says, let's throw him into the lion pit, and it happens, and then Henry comes in as the narration. They must really throw each other to the lions down there, because he ponied up real quickly. It was like, you know, like it's one of the direct where he's talking about it, aside from bats, but even when he's talking about bats, he was talking it more in general terms. It was after it happened. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's as if Henry's watching the scene also and then is adding the narration, which I thought was very funny. So
I feel like it's a coincidence that was the thing he would have said at the same time, and they lined it up because that was a big part of the story. Interesting here is that Henry is actually involved in the rough stuff.
He punches him a bunch of times.
He's doing the punching, which we really haven't seen. Usually, you know, when it comes to the violent stuff, he's standing back.
Well, Tommy was supposed to go on this trip, as you can see why, you know. And, you know, Henry gets a couple of punches in, but really he gets one or two punches in, but then he just holds the gun to the guy's face.
Well, it's, you know, that's not nothing.
Yeah.
And stares at Jimmy intently.
He's the one holding the deadly weapon.
At home.
I like how also Henry is terrified of the lions.
Do you blame him?
No, but when Jimmy says, we're just throwing him in the lion pit, he's like, whoa, I ain't going near no fucking lions. Like, he's also genuinely terrified of the lions.
Yeah.
I think that helps sell it to the guy.
So a couple of things that I noticed for the first time in watching this, I never realized that there's a guy behind the steering wheel of the car.
Oh.
Yeah, he's driving.
Yeah, who's this guy? Is it cab driver?
Their local guy, maybe.
Their local guy? It's Fredo? Is it Fredo?
Could be Fredo.
He's smart, Ron. Like Pop says.
So then you know, Jimmy gets the idea to take him to the lions, and we get a shot of them driving by the Tampa City Zoo in what is a very unconvincing sign.
How did they get in the zoo?
Well, that's a good question too. Well, yeah. Well, there's two things to talk about here, which is the production as a whole. The movie never. This is not shot in Florida. This was actually shot at the Prospect Park Zoo in Brooklyn.
Oh wow! Wow! All right.
So literally what happened is that one day they were – it's like the day before and they get the shooting schedule. And they're like, oh, tomorrow's the lion scene. Oh, we need to get a sign. And they just throw together the most typical boring Tampa City Zoo sign ever.
Well, have you been to Tampa?
Yeah, true. But they do a convincing job of decorating the entrance. They put in some palm trees or something like that. And doing it at night probably helps it. But yeah, they are in – this scene actually was filmed in Brooklyn.
Well, in the daytime there'd be people everywhere.
Right, yeah. But it looks as if the gate is just open to the zoo.
Which is normal, right? That's totally normal. Yeah. You've got wild animals and all kinds of shit, and you just leave the gate open.
Yeah, exactly. It's not hard to break into a zoo.
Yeah.
Well, you're always hearing about that. I remember when I was a kid, some high schoolers broke into the Bronx Zoo and fell in the lion cage and got eaten.
Oh, that happens every couple of years, right? Yeah.
Are we ready to talk about this yet?
What? Jimmy's unfortunate suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, now Henry is he got a very nice, lightly toned, very good for Florida kind of suit.
Lightweight,
yeah. It could be linen, who knows. But Jimmy is in I don't even know how to describe it. It is a wide open collar leisure suit,
it's a short sleeve leisure suit.
Yep. And he's wearing just an A shirt underneath it. And so, you see his cross hanging out there. But it is kind of like uniform-esque. It's got like the little button flap thing on the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, a little military touch.
Yeah, it looks almost safari-esque, with the zoo theory.
It looks heavy. But they decided to just counter that by making it short-sleeved.
That is a terrible suit.
Because he's in Florida, so he'd want to be a little more airy. Yeah,
it does look safari-esque because he's got the folded pockets on each breast.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It looks almost like it's a jacket, and he's just wearing the T-shirt underneath the jacket. Like, I'm not sure it's a suit. I mean, I'm not sure.
It's almost like he said, "Hey, I'm going to Florida. Give me a fucking safari jacket." And he.
Yeah.
And although at the end, when he's being arrested, he's got the same style of jacket on to the double.
I think pockets. That was a thing. I think that was briefly a thing.
It might have been
the short sleeve jacket.
That's awful. Oh. That is like a crime against nature.
It's a bad look. It's a really bad look.
There's no way to pull off the short sleeves. You could be Daniel Craig and wearing a short sleeve suit, and I'd be like, sorry, it's not working.
Well, let's...
No, Josh.
It's a short sleeve. Put Daniel Craig in this outfit, doesn't work.
No.
No?
I'm sorry. I was lost for a minute there. I apologize. It might be the worst outfit in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot.
When you talk about the upside down lion shot.
Sure.
The POV shot, which is sort of like a little jarring because, again, I think we talked about it in the beginning of the week, that shot of Karen and Henry on the floor, it just didn't look like anything else in the movie. And all of a sudden, there's an upside-down shot. They decided to go with a POV of the angry lion, and they hang with it for a while because they're holding them upside down.
Yeah.
Some old-school filmmaking.
Let's talk about the bookie, who is known as Florida Bookie in the credits, played by Peter Onorati. And Peter Onorati is one of those that guy actors who you definitely...
I know that name, yeah.
You definitely recognize Peter Onorati. He's basically done every... If you can name a cop show in the last 15 years, he's probably done a guest appearance on it.
Are you suggesting that he may have been appeared in one of the Law & Order series?
I'm scrolling through his giant list of credits. I'm sure it's in there. He's done multiple CSIs. He's done Castle. He's done Blue Bloods. He's done Numbers. He's done 24. He's done In Plain Sight.
Wow. The thing is, he looks very familiar. He looks very familiar.
When you see him not all bloodied up, then you will recognize him. He's one of those guys. He's in everything.
They don't tend to use a lot of... There's not a lot of those guys in this movie.
Well, this is because it's very early in his career. He's one of his first roles. And then he goes on to having, one of those... He works a lot. He's got 113 credits.
Yeah. Working character actor.
Yeah, he's a working character actor. And this was his... less than 10 roles before this one. He actually did Quantum Leap before this run.
Ooh,
he was Rick in Disco Inferno.
Was he really?
Yeah. And he did four episodes of Caden Alley. He was Lou Carello.
He's a very like that guy. He looks like that guy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He's Italian. Yeah. He plays Italian guys. He plays cops or mobsters.
Yeah.
Good character actor. Good character actor.
Definitely good character.
Yeah. He also has a surprising number of DC animated voices. He's been
He did Teen Titans, right? Yeah, yeah.
But he's also Warhawk in the Timverse series. Sorry, I don't want to get into too much iFanboy territory here. But
across the streams there. Yeah. Oh, we.
Actually, I don't see any Law and Orders on his resume. I see a bunch of CSIs though.
That's just weird.
It is weird.
One of my favorite things about Peter Onorati is that after they almost throw him to lions, and then they are watching him on the payphone talking to whomever he's talking to, the line, "They mean business."
Well, yeah, that's what I have. But by the way, just to close that up, that just means that he lives in Los Angeles, not New York. By the way, that's why he's not in Law and Order, because he doesn't live in New York.
Yeah, you're right. He's done ER. The NYPD Blue, Murder One. Yeah, he's an LA guy. Yeah.
So
Cop Rock.
Yeah, they mean business. It's a weird, like, at the insert strange. Like, it feels like a different movie for like, a little bit.
Right.
Just a little bit.
It's really not a good. I mean, like, Henry and Jimmy reacting to him doing that is their great reactions. But him on the phone, bloody, pointing, and they mean business. Like, it's just like, what? Like, what? Like, I guess they really throw him to the lions down there.
Of all the fucking luck.
Yeah. Well, so talking about of all the fucking luck, the reality of this story, though, actually had nothing to do with Paulie. Basically, what had happened was that a friend of Jimmy and Henry's, a guy by the name of Casey Rosato, and this is in real life, Casey Rosato was the president of the Local 71, the waiters and commissary workers union at Kennedy Airport. And apparently Casey was going down to Tampa to go visit his family, and he was going to pick up some gambling money that was owed to him. Jimmy and Tommy were scheduled to go, but Tommy had been arrested for hijacking the night before, and he wasn't going to be able to make bail in time to make the flight. So Jimmy actually asked Henry if he wanted to go instead.
He was probably shooting his gun off in the sky again.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it just happens to be that this was at a time of a lot of strife for Henry between Karen and his girlfriend, Janice/Linda. And Henry saw it as an opportunity to get away from the women in his life for a couple of days and go down to Florida. The ticket was already paid for. The union was paying for it. It was just simple. Go down, help this guy collect the money, and then come back, you know, that sort of thing.
He just wanted the money.
It was so last minute that it's literally he was at the Suite nightclub and he called Karen and said, "Pack me a bag," and went home, picked up, and then went right to the airport to leave. So it was like one of those like completely last minute trips, which points out how much of a different time it was. Because could you imagine right now, Connor, I'm going to call you and go, hey, let's just go down to Florida. Just pack a bag. Let's go to the airport now.
Yeah, no.
It's like walking into a movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like that you hadn't planned for. You didn't know, well, what's playing now? Let's go see this. You wouldn't, yeah.
So what I will leave you with, and then we'll talk about the rest of it in tomorrow's minute, but Henry and Jimmy fly down to Florida. They end up meeting the bookie that we talk about in this minute, right? What leads to their arrest. They end up meeting the guy in a bar, and the whole get pay us their money scene plays out in the bar in front of about 25 witnesses.
Not smart.
Not smart at all. They did not travel with any weaponry, but one of Casey Rosato's local guys handed Henry a gun going into it. And Henry just kept it in his pocket, and turned out it was like a very old 38 caliber that he said it would fall apart if I shot it, like that kind of old kind of gun. But Henry did use it in the altercation to threaten the guy. And basically the whole thing about the guy who got roughed up sister being an FBI secretary was true. She happened to be visiting him the day after he got roughed up, and she was so upset by it that she told the people she worked for at the FBI what happened. And this turned into a national news story.
Wow.
Covered on all the major networks. The FBI had felt they'd uncovered a major interstate gambling ring, right? Completely blown out of proportion. what happened was is that about 2 weeks later, all of a sudden feds were crawling over Brooklyn, and Henry saw it on the news. They mentioned Jimmy on the news specifically, and they said that basically the feds were breaking into this gambling ring of the mafia that ties into Florida, and they all just couldn't believe it because it was literally just over just some gambling debt and not like any sort of conspiracy.
You know, if Henry's mom had been the kind of mom who kept a scrapbook of her son's achievements, she really could have done a lot. He made a lot of national news through his career.
Yeah, he did. He really did. And so that does lead to his arrest. And I could only you gotta give these black and white photos credit. These are
good
some
photos.
Great
these
shots.
Some great shots. So yeah. So tune in tomorrow when we tell you the rest of the story of how the real arrest and then so Jimmy's photo as he's walking out, as he's getting arrested, he is very happy to be arrested at that moment.
Well, he does that when he gets in, like
it's his arrogant thing. Like you can't fuck with me. Yeah,
he turns that up around.
He puts the mask on for the cops.
I mean, also like it's a smart way to be able to shoot that scene without having to spend money to shoot that scene.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, it's completely circumventing the need to do arrest shoots, you know, by the second unit or wherever, and have to go through a whole thing with a bunch of extras. They just, yeah, I mean, I don't even know how that works with like guilds or anything like that, but maybe they don't have to pay for it in the same way.
Yeah. And it looks accurate.
And it works.
I mean, we've seen these black and white photos of these mobsters getting arrested before, you know, when they supposedly make a mafia bust, but the mafia doesn't exist. So I don't know who they think they're arresting, but,
just random hardworking Italian Americans.
That's all they are. They're just the nightclub owners. That's all they are. So, anyway, but yeah, so the story gets even more interesting, and we'll find out more about it tomorrow. So.
Well, quickly, the fun fact for this episode is back to lions. In the 1930s and 40s, you had the all-Africa record for lion attacks. That's when the most prolific lion attacks happened in one period by one pride of lions over 20 years, multi-generational attacks. In the area that's now Tanzania, but was called Tanganyika, between 1,500 and 2,000 people were estimated attacked and killed by this pride of lions.
They must really throw them to the lions there, too.
Yep.
Pay
your debts in Tanzania. Pay him up. All right. Well, that's it for minute 79. Tune in tomorrow for minute 80. We find out the rest of the story about the arrest. Until then, you can check us out on Twitter at Goodfellas Min and on Instagram and Facebook at Goodfellas Minute. And you can find all of our episodes at GoodfellasMinute.com. And to support the show, go to Patreon.com/GFM. Or go to GoodfellasMinute.com/support, where you can shop via Amazon. You can also buy the movie. If you've never seen this movie, if you're listening to this podcast, yet have never seen the film, why not? I'm sure there's one person out there, if you are.
This is the kind of movie you need to own, by the way. So, yeah. So.
If you're that one person.
It's the movie that you buy every time there's a new format.
Right, yes.
Do you do
somebody
that
out there has an HD DVD and Blu-ray. They just didn't know.
Well, HD DVD was the better technology, so maybe they
it was know. Yeah.
Nerd ass shit you're talking.
If you have any questions or anything of note, or if you are that one person who's never seen the film but is listening to the show, email us at contact@goodfellasminute.com.
He's just holding on to his HD DVD going, I don't know why I got rid of that player. You can't watch this.
And
all I got is component cables. It's not going to work.
Tune in tomorrow as the next lucky patron who supported us at patreon.com/GFM gets their own mafia nickname. We open up the books for them. So check it out tomorrow. Until then, sayonara.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up.